Our Christmas series is called God With Us, and the title of today's message is The Importance of Yes. And we'll get there in just a moment, but first of all, let me just say to all of you, from Martha and me and our entire family, we wish for all of you God's very best during the Christmas season. So Merry Christmas, Happy Christmas to you from the Norman family. Now, before I get into the message too, let me just tell you a little something about, and my apologies to all of you who really love fruitcake, as I'm about to tell this little story. It is said, though, that about 75%, you can take that photo down now. Thank you. Okay. That about 75% of Americans at some point received a fruitcake. And you may love fruitcake, and that might be on your Christmas wish list. But for a lot of folks, receiving a fruitcake is just sort of a marginal. But a majority of Americans have received a fruitcake at some point for Christmas. What happened to those fruitcakes that were received? USA Today says 28% ate the fruitcake. 12% of people threw it away. 13% used it as a doorstop. 9% used it as bird feed. 38% regifted the fruitcake, which just, lends some credence to the belief that there are really just a very few number of fruitcakes in the world. They just keep getting passed around and around and around. Well, the good news of Christmas is all about the celebration of the coming of Jesus into the world and his ongoing impact in the lives of those who honor and follow him. The Lord Jesus, of course, was born in Bethlehem, but the events surrounding his birth actually began in a little town far north of Bethlehem, a town by the name of Nazareth. And Nazareth is where the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary and told her she was going to have a son. Gabriel's conversation with Mary is often called the Annunciation. And it's followed by Mary's response to the Annunciation, which is often called the Magnificat, which is simply a Latin term for my soul magnifies, my soul glorifies the Lord. So today we're going to pay attention to what Gabriel had to say to Mary and how Mary responds. Now, there's no question that Mary is one of the best-known women, probably the best-known woman in the history of the world. In the New Testament, her name will be found 51 times. And there are so many reasons to love Mary. Notably, Mary exemplifies for us how to say a resolute yes to God, how to say a fierce and firm yes to God's assignments in our lives. Reading from Luke chapter 1, beginning verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Now Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you're to call him Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." What astounds Mary initially is not just that she's going to have an amazing child, but she's going to have any kind of child at all. "How will this be?" says Mary, "since I am a virgin." Now, you may not believe in the virgin birth of Jesus, but the Bible declares it. And the angel says to Mary, "Mary, you are about to participate in something supernatural. You're going to be a part of a biological miracle. God is going to suspend the natural laws of the universe to get this done." I like what Peter Larson had to say. He says, despite our efforts to keep him out, God intrudes in our world. The life of Jesus is bracketed by two impossibilities: a virgin's womb and an empty tomb. Jesus entered the world through a door marked "no entrance." And he left the world through a door marked "no exit." Verse 35, the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. One more time. For nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. Listen, just because it doesn't make sense to you, that doesn't mean it doesn't make sense to God. Can you believe in a God who does the impossible? In a God who is omnipotent? You know, there are two kinds of doubt. There's one kind of doubt that's just rooted in unbelief, and it simply says there's no way these claims of God could be true. But there's another kind of doubt. It's open. It's humble. It's willing to ask questions. It's willing to examine the evidence. And I'm asking you this morning, do you have humble doubts? Would you be willing to doubt your doubts? I hope so. Mary did. "How will this be?" she asked. You go ahead. You ask your questions, but be open to answers. And as you ask your questions, stare upward in wonder at a God who's not some small tribal God. He is the God for whom nothing is impossible. So verse 38, Mary's response, "I am the Lord's servant." One more time, "I am the Lord's servant." Let's all say that together. You ready? "I am the Lord's servant," she answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Mary could have said, "No way, not me." And she would have hindered the work of God. And when you say, "No way, not me," you hinder the work of God in your life. Beverly Gaventa is a professor of New Testament at Baylor University, just up the road. She is a Protestant expert on the life of Mary, and she calls Mary the first disciple, the first one to humble herself before Jesus. Listen, gang, Mary is not to be worshipped. I'm not advocating Marianism or Mariolatry. She is not to be worshipped, but she is to be honored, respected, admired. She shows us what it's like to be receptive to God's will. She is the first disciple. The early church in the year 431 had a council, the council in Ephesus. They gave Mary a term, Theotokos, meaning the God bearer. She is the one through whom God comes into the world. The union of human nature and divine nature, the incarnation. But here's Mary saying, "I am the Lord's servant. Be it to me as you will." This is her humble, obedient, submissive spirit. Gang, listen, we live in a culture today that whenever you hear the word obedience, people want to make it an attack upon your autonomy. And we live in a culture that loves to idolize and worship autonomy. You do not lose your identity when you surrender and follow Jesus Christ. To the contrary, you clarify your identity. You find who you were created to be. You find your purpose and great joy in following and honoring and obeying the Lord. Now, I know we're not having children's worship today. I know we're not having Bible classes, but I have asked Joel Smith, our children's minister, to come up here and join me today and help me teach. And Joel is going to give us a great lesson right now on the keys and the beauty of an obedient, surrendered spirit.
Thank you very much. Well, when we talk about obedience to God, I want to go back to Samuel, and I don't know if you remember Samuel talking with Saul, and if you're thinking, what can I give God this Christmas? A lot of people are saying, a big sacrifice, that is key. But Samuel said, to obey is better than sacrifice. Our desire here is to obey God, and to help visualize that, there are five keys to obedience that I'm going to use a scenario that you might see with a mom and dad. And I have two holders who are going to help me. So Zane and Corbin, could you come up and stand right here on this edge, sir and sir? Thank you very much. All right, so picture Joel. I am now little Joel years ago. And I am at home having a blast, playing a game. And my mom says, Joel, I'd like for you to take out the trash. Okay, I'll be right there. Am I obeying? No, you've got to obey instantly. And I wanted to have something visual, so I went to a grocery store and found items that you might find every day. And here we have a small box that you probably cannot read. I don't know which direction I'm heading, but what does that say?
Instant.
Instant. We need to obey instantly. So that's the first key of obedience. Then the next key is as follows. You're continuing to play your game and having a lot of fun when all of a sudden your mom says, Joel, time to be done. I obeyed instantly. Is that obedience? No, obedience involves your attitude as well. And I have a item that says, cheer, cheer. And it's actually kind of heavy. So if that's hard to hold, we'll put it down. The first key to obedience is instant. Second key to obedience involves your attitude, which is? Very good. All right. Well, then let's suppose that Joel is sitting here and he's playing games. And his mom says, Joel, I'd like for you to pick up the trash. And let's suppose that there is trash all over the floor, which I'm sure never happens at your house. And Joel gets up right away. He has a smile on his face. And he picks up a piece of trash and puts it away. Was I obedient? No, I'm missing something. And that is, how much of the job do we need to do? We need to do the total job, total cereal, if you'll hold that for me. Very good. And then, this is one of my favorites. Let's suppose that you're continuing to play your game, and you're having lots of fun, and all of a sudden your mom says, Joel, it's time to be done and go to bed. And you're like, well, I know I have to have a good attitude, but I'm going to say, man, my friend doesn't have to go to bed this early. This is ridiculous, but I'm doing it right away. And oh, look at my smile, and I'll do it all. Well, that involves WD-40. And I know you're looking at that and saying, how does that have anything to do with obedience, especially to God? This is one we struggle with. Can you read that, Corbin? What does it say at the top line? Stops, squeaks. Have you ever opened a door and it went, wee, 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 wee? Psst, psst. Nice. So much better. All right. And then the final key is, and I will neither confirm nor deny that this incident actually may or may not have happened, but let's suppose that Joel is doing what he wants to, and his mom says, Joel, I'd like for you to clean your room. And so I do it with a good attitude. I'm doing it really fast. I'm doing my whole room. I'm not complaining. And all of a sudden, I find my older brother's tennis shoes. Now I have a couple of options. I could take the tennis shoe and go to the dog and say, you want to play? Here, tear this up. This will be fun. I could do that. Or, which may or may not have happened, you go and you knock on your brother's door. The door opens. What do you want? And you chuck the shoe right at him, and then you run as fast as you can and stand by your mom. And your mom says, what's going on? Why is your brother trying to kill you? Well, I was obeying, Mom. Well, I obeyed right away. I did it totally. I did everything you said, but there's one more key that we don't want to forget. And that is this one. This is extra bubble gum. And Jesus actually said, go the extra mile. And the extra mile would be going to your brother and knocking on his door and saying, your shoes. So those are the five keys to obedience. Really quick. What's this one? All right. This one? This one? This one? Without squeaking and going the extra mile. All right. Good job, guys. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Joel. We really appreciate that. And just to underscore now, the spirit of surrender and obedience is not just for children. One of the best pieces of advice you'll ever read in the Bible comes from Mary herself when she was at a wedding feast in Cana. And she said, regarding Jesus, she said, whatever he tells you to do, do it. That's where you find your joy. That's where you find your sense of identity in being surrendered to the Lord. You say, but now, Ronnie, wait a minute. My obedience will never be perfect. No, we're not saved by obedience. We're saved unto it. And my sense of security and my salvation, it's not rooted in my perfect obedience. Listen, I can grow in obedience. I can become more consistent. I can desire it. I can aim high. I'll never have perfect obedience. Here's what happens. When I falter and when I stumble, rather than running away from God, though, I can run to him. Why? Because my sense of security and grace and forgiveness and salvation is rooted not in my perfect forgiveness, that's impossible, but in the perfect obedience, in the perfect obedience of Jesus and his death and resurrection for me. Gang, I would not trust my best 15 minutes of living to qualify me for heaven. I wouldn't trust my very best 15 minutes to qualify me for heaven. Only Jesus can qualify me for heaven. And that's why we want to honor him. Now, Mary responds to this assignment with these words out of beginning at verse 46, again called the Magnificat. Now, I want you to be listening for some themes. You ready? I want you to be listening for themes of hope and celebration and praise as she praises the majesty, the power, the faithfulness, the goodness and kindness of God. Now, what's staggering, you with me? Mary knows that her assignment is full of challenges. Mary knows that she will labor, literally, under a cloud of misunderstanding. People won't understand her situation. She knows she's holy. She knows she's noble. She knows she will be questioned. She'll be maligned. She may be ostracized. And in the midst of it all, though, she will praise God. You do know that there's a difference between expectations and a sense of expectancy. Expectations, I say, God, if you really love me, you better do A, B, C, D, or E. A sense of expectancy says, Lord, I know you love me, and I know you're good, and I know you're mighty and you're powerful. I know that you reign and you get the last word. I know you will bring about good things. I don't know how all that will happen. Here's what Mary has to say. She says, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he's been mindful of the humble state of his servant. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He's performed mighty deeds with his arm. He scattered those who were proud in their inmost thoughts. He's brought down rulers from their thrones, but he's lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He's helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. God keeps his promises. God is faithful. Mary says, therefore, we can rejoice and have hope in the Lord. Let me tell you why this is so apropos to you and me today. The world's full of bad news. And you do know that in this day and age, we live in a time in God's plan where God's goodness and power and grace and faithfulness exists right alongside evil and brokenness and sin and death. They coexist. The good news is the rotten things have a shelf life. There's coming a day when the old order of things has passed away. But right now, in the midst of grace and mercy and majesty and the might and the faithfulness and the fabulous promises of God to come, we still live right in the middle of sin and fallenness and brokenness and heartache and death and pain. In other words, we're in the Christmas story that has joy and good news and singing, and it also has a Herod right in it as well. And if we're not careful, rather than just being aware and facing the brokenness and the fallenness, we can become obsessed by it. So that's all we think about. That's all we see. And there's never any rejoicing or hope or optimism. All we see in the Christmas story is the Herod part. And we don't see the singing angels. We don't see the promise of a Savior. We don't see the good news of Jesus. Listen, my heart is dysfunctional, and I have a sinful nature. And if I'm not careful, if I don't fight for joy, if I don't intentionally lean into the good news of the majesty and the might and the mercy of God, I can go to the dark side real fast. If you were to come visit me at my house, park your car in my driveway. My driveway is on an incline. Let's say you park your car there, but you don't put it in park, and you don't put on the parking brake. You get out. You know what's going to happen? Your car is going to roll backwards, pulled by gravity, to the lowest point in front of our house. And actually, you would probably need to introduce yourself to our neighbors across the street. Your car, by gravity, would just be pulled down. It's easy, isn't it, for us to be pulled down by the gravitational pull of this fallen, broken world. I'm here to say to you today, God is with you. He has come. He is with you. He is for you. And in this Christmas season that has a way of, you know, if you're living right now in a season that's in the major key, there's something about Christmas. The highs are higher and the smiles are broader and wider. And if that's where you are, we rejoice with you today. But if right now you're in a minor key, there's something about Christmas, the lows can feel lower. And we mourn with you, we weep with you. God is with you in the major keys. He's with you in the minor keys. He is with us. And today, my admonition to you from the story of Mary, the bearer of God, you do yourself a favor when you claim your identity by saying, I am the Lord's servant. May your will be done in my life. And you do yourself a favor when you remind yourself and you choose to lean into, I know you can't ignore the bad, but you choose to embrace the good news of the kingdom of God. And you say, in the midst of it all, God is mighty, so mighty, nothing is impossible for him. And not only is he mighty, he is faithful. And best of all, he's merciful. Merciful to you and merciful to me. God bless you, everyone. God bless you as you honor the Lord Jesus Christ in your life.